on a Sunday morning. Welcome into my Community Plan Foundation Highway. I'm your host, Reverend Mitchell L. E. Kenneth Johnson.
And I'm your co-host, Cindy Aiden.
Hey, listen. This is going to be an interesting morning on this watch. It seems 60 to 80% of the people on the planet understand climate change is a thing and want to do something about climate change. However, most Western European governments, including the United States, continue to subsidize fossil fuel companies. How does this work? How does it make sense that oil companies today in America are subsidized? What is that all about?
Money is green and people are into it. We know that money is a strong motivator for businesses to continue to operate, and thus is a big motivator for our governments to want to listen to businesses and try to look at the money that they're getting in today instead of looking at the planet that will no longer be here tomorrow unless we do something about it.
You know, I'm fond of saying these words. Money makes the world go around, but all cash ain't currency. And at some juncture, I think it's going to take a stronger effort on two wises. One, communicating that climate change is real and the origin of climate change. And then two, electing people, at least in the United States, who want to stop and take a look at how we are really spending our money.
The man-made origins of climate change is what I imagine you're referring to. Before industrialization, before we started looking at deteriorating at the level that it is now. Chicago, and we have our own up and down weather. The planet itself is warming.
You know what? And this winter was not as severe as we are accustomed to.
No. And the global warming is kind of a misnomer. So it's easy for folks to not get it because it's global warming, and they're like, I'm not feeling warmer. However, climate change does result in shifts in our weather. And yeah, you're right. It's time we elect officials who understand that and are determined and passionate to do something about it.
Speaking of electing officials who understand that which we need to know, this is the third Sunday of the month. That can only mean Cook County Board President Tony Quinkle is with us. Madam President, good morning.
Good morning, Reverend Mitchell. Good morning, Adia. I'm grateful to be here.
We're glad to have you. Good morning.
Got an interesting show on this morning. We can't go too far without acknowledging the passing of our former now Cook County clerk. That would be Karen Yarbrough.
Yes, this has been a tough couple of weeks for me, I have to say. Karen was a colleague and a friend, and I miss her. You know, she did great work coming into the clerk's office, where she served 2 terms. She was just reelected for her 3rd term, and of course suffered a massive stroke and then passed away. And last weekend, there was both a funeral for the family and a public memorial service on the campus of the University of Chicago at Rockefeller Chapel. And the governor and both of our senators, Senator Durbin, Senator Duckworth, were present. The lieutenant governor was present, as well as Congressman Danny Davis and myself. And actually, all 6 of us spoke at that service. And so her decades-long career as a public servant was acknowledged by some of the highest elected officials in our state, and that's a tribute to her good work, and I hope sign of respect that doesn't go unnoticed.
You know, we often say democracy is not a spectator sport, and I'm not sure if Clerk Yarbrough coined that term, but I am sure she she put enough energy behind it that it is now a common saying. So we, too, mourn the loss of that public servant. And by the way, didn't she also serve in the Illinois State House?
She started her statewide public service, anyway, as a state representative. And then, as you'll recall, she was recorder of deeds. And when that office was merged with the office of clerk, she became clerk of the county and has served in that capacity, I think, 2 terms.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, she is sorely missed. Sometimes it's hard to capitalize someone's career and life in their, not just commitment, but contribution to the community they serve. And, you know, Clark Yarbrough just had a huge and wonderful voice, at least for me personally. Always welcoming, and I remember one time she said, "Where have you been all my life?" when we talked about different ways to communicate, ways to communicate participation in this wonderful experiment called democracy. And even as our opening show talked about elected officials, she, like you, Madam President, are the kind we just simply need more of. And I don't know any better way to say that than just that.
Well, you know, you spoke about her time in the state legislature. I think we should recall a couple things in particular. First, that she sponsored legislation to end indoor smoking. You may recall a time, as I do, when you went into a restaurant or a bar and there was this sort of fog of smoke. It's the sign that we need to take a commercial break, and I'll come back to this, I guess, in a minute.
Listen, music in the background, as Madam President points out, reminds us all we got to take a break. Pause for the cause. This is the My Community Definition Hour.
And we'll be right back after these station messages.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Sakat Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Sakat Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's ZAKAT.org.
Hi, my name is Dr. Nicole Williams with the Cook County Physicians Association. Did you know that Medicaid is covered for an entire year after you've had your baby? The year after you've had your child can be almost as dangerous as pregnancy itself. Make sure to see your healthcare provider and get the care you need and deserve.
Welcome back. Welcome back to My Community Plan Foundation Hour.
Yes, it is the third Sunday of the month. We sound a little bit clearer, I hope, coming through on the radio at this time. But it is the third Sunday of the month, which means we have with us Cook County Board President, Madam Toni Preckwinkle. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. I was speaking about Karen Yarbrough's accomplishments in the General Assembly. And the first, I think I should mention, is that she was the sponsor of legislation that prohibited indoor smoking. So I think this is a contribution to public health. And, of course, half of our budget is health care, so that's really important to me. She was also a leader in the criminal justice reform field. She and now Attorney General Kwame Wahrhoel, when he was in the Senate and she was in the House, pushed forward legislation to end the death penalty in Illinois. And given the fact that we have the unfortunate reputation of being the wrongful conviction capital of the country, this is really important. And I am grateful to her and, of course, to Attorney General Raul for their good work in that regard. So I think the highlights of her service were the legislation that she pushed to end smoking indoors and her successful effort to end the death penalty in Illinois.
You know, if there were legislation that significantly impacts people of color, it will be both of those legislative efforts. The death penalty as part of criminal justice reform, and for all of us asthmatics, we owe Madam Clerk a debt of gratitude for the legislation that banned smoking indoors. Simple and plain.
Right, and you don't have to be an asthmatic to appreciate it, I'll tell you. So I'm very grateful to her. I'm very grateful to her. And I wanted to begin, of course, by, as you did, by acknowledging her good work and thanking her family for her service as well. So let's talk about some things else that happened this week. On Monday, I was a participant in a press conference with Governor J.B. Pritzker, which he announced that he would be initiating a program similar to the one that we have here in Chicago to eliminate medical debt. And I think we have a staff person from the State Department for Health and Human Services, Ryan Croak, who's first assistant deputy governor for Health and Human Services in the Pritzker administration, to talk to us a little bit about state's initiatives. Ryan, are you with us?
Good morning, Madam President. Honored to be with you.
Good morning, Ryan. First time on the program. Welcome to have you.
It's a joy to be with you. I so appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan, for joining myself and Reverend Johnson and Adia. Can you please tell us about what the state's up to?
Absolutely. Well, it's not an exaggeration to say that not only the state of Illinois, but the entire country was inspired by the initiative that Madam President Preckwinkle took on in July of 2022 to be the first government in America to erase medical debt for hundreds of thousands of families burdened by the cost of care. And, you know, Madam President, as you well know, programs in New Orleans, Toledo, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Washington, D.C. have blossomed as a result of the courageous step that you took in Cook County to release people of the debts that they carried from medical care that they did nothing but get sick to take on. And so Governor Pritzker and several people on his staff were motivated to say, how can we take the extraordinary progress that's been made in Cook County and scale it up statewide? And so that's just what we're doing. The governor announced in his budget address that we would be launching a $1 billion year one initiative to erase the medical debts of over 300,000 people across the state, building on the, as I said, extraordinary work that you've done at home.
You know, I got to tell you, Ryan, we learned in law school that most progressive law emanates from California and it travels eastward. Unless you live in the state of Illinois in general and the county of Cook in particular, and then you'll find progressive thoughts. And I get the short end of the stick from Ramsey County, Minnesota, for what I'm about to say. But I barely believe that Cook County is the epicenter of progressive approaches to government across the country. Madam President, your folk in Minnesota always want to debate me on that one, but I'll stand tall every day.
Well, you know, of course, that I was born in Ramsey County, Minnesota. So. There's a through line there.
Well, all they can count is that you were born there, but your political chops were honed in the Fourth Ward through the office of the president. That's all I'm talking about.
There we go. Well, I just want to say, Ryan, I know that there's a significant state investment here, and in our investment of $12 million, so far we've wiped out $348 million in debt for 200,000 county residents. And I know that this program will have a similar dramatic effect across the state when it's enacted by the legislature.
That's exactly right. We're counting on the General Assembly to include in the final state budget for fiscal year 25, which starts in July, at least a $10 million appropriation that, as you know, unlocks 100 times the impact. 100 times 10 million is 1 billion. And so we're on track, and we've gotten terrific reception from members of the General Assembly about, again, taking what you've done in Cook County and scaling it up statewide. There are so many families. I mean, 40% of all Americans have medical debt. And here in Illinois, 14% of residents statewide have medical debt that's in collections. You know, bill collectors knocking on their doors or blowing up their phones to collect debts that may be years and years old. The numbers are disproportionately high for black and brown families. It's higher than the national average. And what you've done in Cook County, I think, proves full well that just a tremendous impact. You're lifting the mental health and psychological burden of debts, and also freeing up people to pursue the lives that they deserve, whether it's buying a house or taking on any other challenges that they might be facing.
So, Ryan, I have a question for you.
You bet.
I know that the legislators are also contemplating, or have they already approved, an effort to eliminate medical debt from credit reports.
That's right. There is both at the national and the state level effort to do that. And one of the things that has happened in Cook County is that when a person receives a letter saying that their medical debts have been erased through the county's partnership with RIP Medical Debt, it's now called Undo Medical Debt, they follow up with the credit reporting agencies to make sure that folks don't have a negative impact on their credit scores. So yes, you're exactly right. That's a part of this transformation of our work to alleviate the burden and the impact of medical debt in America.
We are very grateful to Undo Medical Debt. It was formerly called RIP Medical Debt, for the partnership. That they basically do the work. We provide them with the resources. This is work they've done across the country with philanthropy. So we haven't created a program. We've partnered with the folks who've been doing this for a while, rather than trying to stand up something from ground zero ourselves. And they are great partners. As I said, they've done this with philanthropy across the country, and now they're doing it with government across the country. As you heard, the state of Oregon, City of New Orleans, the City of New York City, mm-hmm. The state of Illinois have all been involved now in medical debt relief initiatives. So we are proud to be part of the national effort, and grateful to the state for stepping up as well.
Ryan, I also have a question. So how far along in the program development are we? Are residents able to apply, or how will this program eventually be structured?
Well, the beauty of it is that people don't have to apply. RIP Medical Debt, again, now Undo Medical Debt, they analyze hospital debt portfolios. They identify qualifying accounts. And then any account that qualifies has their debt canceled and is notified without having any action required on the part of the patient. What's really remarkable about this is that anybody who has medical debt exceeding 5% of their annual household income is eligible, and anybody no matter how big or small the debt may be, anybody who is at 400% or less of federal poverty limits is eligible for debt relief through this program. And all of the analysis is handled by Undo Medical Debt's team in partnership with the holder of the debt. And generally, that's a hospital system, but sometimes it's a third-party debt collection entity. So families do not need to apply, per se, and really, they get the happy surprise of a letter in the mail notifying them of the amount of debt that has been erased from their record.
That's a wonderful approach. Go ahead, Madam President.
Well, thank you, Ryan. The great thing about this is, again, there's no application, no hurdles, no barriers, no hoops to go through, to jump through. We partner, and I should say Cook County has established partnerships with Sinai Health, University of Chicago Medicine, Advent Health, and a physicians group called Vituity. We just have arranged to buy their debt through again the good work of Undo Medical Debt, buy their debt, and then Undo Medical Debt, following the federal poverty guidelines, you have to be under 400% of the federal poverty guidelines, just sends you a letter, as Ryan says, and informs you that your debt has been wiped out. So there's no application process, and we are continuing to work to find more healthcare system partners. So you heard that Advent Health and University of Chicago Medicine and Sinai are partners, and we're looking for other healthcare partners who are willing to sell us their debt rather than sell it to collection agencies. And then we can comb through the records and find those who are eligible for our program and send them the letter saying your debt has been eliminated.
Now, talk about clearing house good mail. That would absolutely be a good piece of mail to receive in my mail.
Make sure your addresses are up to date with your medical providers.
In the background music reminds us it's time to take a pause for the cause. This is the My Community Planning Foundation Hour, and we will return with Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle after this station break.
Hi, my name is Dr. Nicole Williams with the Cook County Physicians Association. Did you know that Medicaid is covered for an entire year after you've had your baby? The year after you've had your child can be almost as dangerous as pregnancy itself. Make sure to see your healthcare provider and get the care you need and deserve.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Saccott Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Saccott Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's ZAKAT.org.
Hello, this is Karen Carruthers, my Community Plan Foundation nutritionist, coming to you today on this awesome Sunday with your generational health tip. I'd like to talk to you about the benefits of eating oatmeal. Oatmeal is naturally and nutritionally rich. It has more protein than most grains, and it also has numerous vitamins and minerals. It contains antioxidants and soluble fiber. And that soluble fiber aids in promoting regular emptying of the bowel and prevents constipation. Also, there's so many different varieties and different ways that you can make oatmeal cookies. You can cook your oatmeal for breakfast in the morning. You can sprinkle a few oats in your morning smoothie. And also make sure you're getting in plenty of water and exercise, as well as rest on a daily basis. This is Karen Carruthers, my Community Plan Foundation nutritionist. Thank you.
back. Welcome back to the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. You know, sometimes, Madam President, the funniest conversations happen off the air. We're going to keep that last one off of the air. Madam President from Cook County Board of Commissioners, Senator McWinkle, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. And I just want to thank Ryan Croak for joining us. We're very grateful, and we look forward. You know, the governor plans to make a multi-year investment in this medical debt initiative, and we're grateful to him. Thank you, Ryan.
What a joy. Thank you so much, Madam President. And I want to just emphasize what a trailblazer you have been on medical debt relief in America. It's not just in Cook County. Every one of Illinois' 102 counties will benefit because of the leadership that you brought to Cook County. And it's, you know, the state of Arizona, Michigan, Washington, D.C., Ohio, Louisiana, all residents in all of these jurisdictions are benefiting because of your vision in Cook County, and that cannot be emphasized enough. I'm so grateful for your time and so appreciate the doors that you've opened on the quest to relieve medical debt in Cook County and across Illinois. So thank you, and look forward to working with your team on this.
Ryan, I'm so glad to know you, like me, are drinking the Madam President's soup on a Sunday morning.
Thank you. Really, thank you for the time.
Thank you so much. Our next guest, Adia and Reverend Johnson, is Eileen Siegel, who is interim general superintendent for the Forest Preserves of Cook County. Welcome, Eileen.
Good morning, everyone.
Welcome. First time on the program, Eileen. I just want to know, don't tell me, what size are your shoes? Because you are filling some pretty big feet.
That is true. I joined the Preserves about 10 years ago to help our former general superintendent, Arnold Randall, adopt our very, very ambitious long-range goals. So that it's been a pleasure to work with him, and I was... You know, it was very bittersweet for us to see him move on to his new opportunity.
As some of you may know, Arnold Randall was the superintendent of our forest preserves for 13 years. He came on board roughly when I was elected. He's now gone on to be the executive director of the Donnelly Foundation. So he's a big time guy in philanthropy now, mm-hmm. But we're very grateful to him for his public service, and we're grateful to Eileen for stepping up. Eileen, tell us what's happening in the forest preserves. This is Earth Month, so help us out.
It is. It's Earth Month, and it's spring. I know it's a little cold out there this weekend, but it really is warming up, and there's a lot of things to do and see in the forest preserve in spring. The spring flowers are coming out. As Madam President said, this is Earth Month for us. So there are all kinds of activities across the preserves. We are celebrating all month long. We started with a really wonderful trash bash, which Madam President was a participant in. And we had folks from all over Cook County bring in things like old electronics or bikes or appliances mm-hmm. that are really hard to get rid of appropriately. And mm-hmm. this was an easy opportunity to put as many of those things to reuse as possible and then to recycle as many of them as possible.
So are you able to recycle ex-spouses as well? That's a bad joke. Let that one go.
No, please.
Let that one go.
All right. Yes, we do know bicycles are extremely hard to appropriately dispose of, as well as batteries. Do we know anything about the appropriate way to recycle or throw away batteries? Electronics.
Those were also collected at that event. And Madam President may be able to tell you more about this, but the new Charm Center in Cook County accepts those and a whole range of things that are tough to get rid of.
Fascinating. I should say that the Charm Center is on the campus of South Suburban College. Mm-hmm. And we're celebrating actually on Monday, I think, the one-year anniversary of the Charm Center. And it's the center for hard-to-recycle materials, which is how we got to Charm. Center for Hard to Recycle Materials. And basically, they take everything there. Old paint, batteries, electronic equipment, anything you can think of, you can bring to the to that center. On the, it's at the northern end of the campus of South Suburban College. So,
Madam President, do you mean anything?
No, we don't mean anything. Actually, no.
We're not going to go back to that, Reverend Johnson.
No. But so there are additional activities coming up. Yes, May is Earth Month. But there
April,
are
April.
April, the month we are in currently. April is Earth Month. But there are some additional festivities coming up in the forest preserves for the month of April, as well as we look into May.
There are. Do you want me to say a few words about those?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, so at any time, you know, it's easy to get into the preserves on your own, to walk, bike, take a jog. We have more than 350 miles of trails. You could go fishing at any of 40 lakes. You can rent a canoe or a kayak or bring your own at one of our launches. We've got 5 campgrounds. But we also, as said, have a whole number of organized events. And a lot of those happen at our nature centers, and you can get information about specific events on our website or really even just drop into a nature center. There's naturalists there that can always help learn more about what's happening on the land. There's a couple of events I really did want to highlight. One are the night programs. Generally, the forest preserves are closed at night, but they are really a magical place at night. So we do open them for special events. And we have 2 of those coming up at our Little Red Schoolhouse Nature Center on April 23rd and again on May 7th. And that's in one of our, the largest urban dark sky area. And it's a beautiful place to go and see the stars, see the moon, take a walk at night. It really is peaceful and magical.
An urban dark sky, an urban dark sky. So how are we, can you tell us a little bit about that? Is that like a place where we can look up and see the stars where we might not be able to see them in different parts of Cook County?
Exactly. So we're in this huge urban metropolitan area with lots and lots of light pollution at night.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to work with Adler Planetarium to reduce the light in a large enough region that we met these very, very strict standards to qualify as an urban dark sky area. So that those events there, not only did our Nature Center bring out special telescopes, often Adler brings telescopes, and then there's a whole group of volunteers who come out and share their telescopes, and it's really, really lovely. You can see the stars better there than anywhere else in Cook County, unless you're, you know, getting way out on Lake Michigan.
So, for the forest preserves, you guys are designated as the largest urban night sky place in the world by the International Dark Sky Association. Who knew?
That's great. And there was a lot of work to get there, and we're very proud of that designation.
I would just say I took my grandkids before they moved to Atlanta to one of these dark sky events, and our amateur astronomers came out with their telescopes. It was just wonderful. You could see Saturn. You could see Jupiter. You could see the moon. Of course, it happened to be a night when there was a full moon. It was just a great experience and something that really impressed not just my grandchildren, but me. it was wonderful. So I encourage folks to go on these dark sky events. You forget. We can't see anything in the skies in the middle of the city. But if we go to some of these places like Little Red Schoolhouse and our forest preserves, it's just wonderful. There's no other way to describe it.
That sounds phenomenal.
Were there any other events coming up that you wanted to tell our audience about?
Thanks. There was one other that I really wanted to highlight, and that is the Nature Block Party. It will be at Eggers Grove on May 18th. It's a great place to visit. It has woodlands, prairies, and wetlands, and there will be a number of activities and entertainment there at the block party.
Say that again. Where is it? Where is Eggers Grove?
So it's in Eggers Grove, which is the far south side of Chicago.
All right. So this is the in the city of Chicago on the far south side. Okay. And it's May 18th all day?
It's May 18th. I will check the hours for you. I do not believe it's all day. It's probably half day usually these are.
Wait a minute. You guys jumped to May 18th. It's a spring festival on Sunday, May 5th.
How could we forget?
There's lots and lots of events, and I would just really encourage listeners to check out our website, which is fpdcc.gov, and then you can really see, fpdcc.com, and you can just search any event, any date, any area of the Forest Preserves or county that you're interested in.
You know, there's a little more, dare I say, relevant event occurring also in Caldwell Woods, I believe, on Saturday, May the 4th, the community powwow where murdered and missing indigenous relatives, partnership with American Indian Health Services, Trickster Cultural Center, American Indian Center, and, of course, Cook County to bring awareness to the obstacles of Native communities have faced historically in seeking justice for relatives. I want to make sure folk know about that on Saturday, May the 4th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Why don't you go on and share the website that you're looking at so that the folks can have the complete calendar at their disposal as well?
You mean fpdcc.com/event/community-power?
That, yes. fpdcc.com is the website. And let me just say, you know, we talk sometimes, and we have on this program, about the challenge of missing and murdered Black women. However, Native American women are equally, if not more, victims in this spectrum. Missing and murdered Indigenous women is a tremendous challenge in this country, partly because of the difficulties of law enforcement on Native American tribal lands, but just generally, people at the margins, of course, are faced with tremendous challenges in this country, and particularly women at the margins. And that's true of Native American women and African American women.
You know, Madam President, you're not wrong, I'll tell you. Music in the background reminds us it's time to take a pause for the cause. But at some juncture, we got to talk a little more about indigenous peoples, because after African American women, they are absolutely number one. This is the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. We'll be back with our action section after this station break.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Sakat Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Sakat Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's ZAKAT.org.
Hi, my name is Dr. Nicole Williams with the Cook County Physicians Association. Did you know that Medicaid is covered for an entire year after you've had your baby? The year after you've had your child can be almost as dangerous as pregnancy itself. Make sure to see your healthcare provider and get the care you need and deserve.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. We've got with us, after all, first Sunday of the month, Cook County Board President Madam Toyna Prinquinkle. Her crew gets ever more interesting. Madam President, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to thank Eileen again for joining us. I encourage folks to look on the website, fpdcc.com, for events and activities in the forest preserves. Thank you, Eileen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen. Madam President, what you got next?
Ted Berger, who's Executive Director of the Cook County Department of Emergency Management and Regional Security. Thank you for joining us, Ted.
Absolutely, Madam President. Good Sunday morning to you, ma'am, and Reverend Johnson and Hadia. I'm honored to be on the program again. Thank you so much.
Good morning. Great to have you.
Man, we love having you on the program. And I can imagine residents in and around Cook County love you as well.
Well, I appreciate that kind word. You know, unfortunately, as an emergency manager, so often our work is speaking about challenges that our communities face. And also, we attempt to do our very, very best to focus on the resiliency that comes out of those overwhelming circumstances. And I'm here to provide some updates about that today.
Look at you. He is really getting radio savvy. You notice that?
All right.
He's
go ahead, Ted.
Pro.
Well, thank you for that. So as many of you recall, and certainly Hadia, Reverend Johnson, you might remember that I was on your program with Madam President on September 17th this past fall, and we commented on the significant amount of rain that was taking place while we were chatting. That rain event ended up being more than just out of the average. It was an overwhelming crisis urban flooding event that we experienced here in Cook County. We had a narrow swath of our communities that experienced well over 9 inches of rainfall. This was on the heels of July 2nd, which we had a similar event where over 9 inches of rain fell in a matter of hours. Together, these two events constituted an overwhelming circumstance for so many of our residents. But through Madam President's leadership, by declaring a county-level disaster, Governor Pritzker following suit with his leadership in declaring a state disaster, and ultimately President Biden declaring a major disaster, we were able to secure federal individual assistance funds for our residents. And Reverend Johnson and Hadia and Madam President, I always want to recognize that this aid, while critical, does not make our residents whole. We recognize residents are still recovering from this. But today, for the very first time ever, actually, I'm announcing what we understand to be the updated totals. And together with both of these events, direct aid from FEMA, as well as low-interest loan dollars through the Small Business Administration, we have garnered over $486 million in direct aid for Cook County.
Oh, yeah. That deserves a hand clap. I'm going to clap all four of my fingers together. Good job. Good job. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I just want to congratulate Ted and his team, because when you you are the recipient of a federal disaster declaration, it's a result of submitting, not surprisingly, a great deal of detailed information about the impact on your communities. And Ted and his team did the work to prove up that Cook County was tremendously impacted. And as a result of that, we got the disaster declaration, which enabled people to get help for their bills related to flooding.
Madam President, I'm so appreciative of your kind word, and I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the phenomenal partnerships at the local level. We cannot do this alone, and it requires municipal leaders to understand the severity and the experience of the residents and work closely with all of us to gather that data. Again, the July 2nd storm, which we all recognize, you know, happened at a time in the summer and did garner a lot of headlines. We had great partnerships, of course, with the City of Chicago, Cicero, Berwyn, Maywood, Forest Park, Oak Park, and so many others. In our September 17th response, we had phenomenal partnership with Calumet City, Burnham, Riverdale, Dixmoor, Phoenix, Dalton, Harvey, Markham, Oak Forest, South Holland, and, of course, our colleagues at Chicago as well. So it takes an entire network of partnerships and first responders and emergency management professionals to do this, and we're grateful that those networks are as robust as they are here.
You know, Ted, I got to go ahead and just give you some props for your work, and we've regularly talked about the consistency of your work. And let's just put out here, the average grant ran about $8,000 in Cook County.
Yeah, and so when I hear the total number, to me that means the outreach is working, that you are getting to residents who are able to take advantage of these grants that are available, and it's not just like, you know, okay, we did this thing to say we did it, but that people on the ground are actually feeling the effects, are actually able to receive the money and shore up their homes and alleviate some of the troubles that they were facing. So the total dollar amount is huge, and that just means the amount of families and individuals who were helped, that makes a tremendous impact on their lives as well.
Well, thank you for those kind words. And we always want to keep in mind that the assistance, while those numbers are significant, and to all of your points that we've helped a number of residents, we recognize that this FEMA and Small Business Administration assistance does not make our residents whole. It is merely intended to help them stand back up and create a safe space to live or work in. And so our work will continue. We know that going forward, it doesn't stop simply because the application periods have closed and those initial levels of support have been made. We are in it for the long term. And so we know there continues to be what they call disaster case management, where our FEMA colleagues continue to follow up with disaster survivors and those who experience flooding are survivors. We know there's long-term recovery support at the community level that we'll continue to be engaged in, and we're also going to be focused on mitigation projects to make investments to help the dollars reduce the risk of this happening in the future.
Sounds good to me.
I think it's really important to understand, and this comes back to the climate change issue that we talked about at the beginning of the program. There is going to be, as a result of climate change, more of these flooding incidents, and we have to figure out how to prepare ourselves for them, and that means changing infrastructure. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to restore wetlands, and by the way, in the forest preserves, we're doing a lot of that. A lot of the forest preserve land was farms, and the farmers, of course, didn't want wetlands. They wanted to be able to grow crops. And so they figured out ways to drain the land so that they could utilize it for farming. But what we're doing in the forest preserves now is going to some of the same companies that installed the drains and having them taken out so we can restore the wetlands that were there previously. There's a great irony to this. The same companies that put the drains in are now helping us take them out so that we can restore wetlands. And a reminder to our audience, this is the most populous county in the state. 102 counties, it's the most populous. 5.1 million people. However, it's also the most ecologically diverse because so much of our land in Illinois is monoculture. It's, you know, soybean fields or corn fields or whatever. So we have lands, we have we have the lake, we have forest, we have savanna, we have prairie. We have a wide variety of terrain, of ecological environments in the county. We're the most ecologically diverse, which is counterintuitive, given that we're the most populous.
That's a fact. So get out into the forest preserves. That's really the message. Utilize these spaces. You'll be better off for it. You'll breathe better, live longer. I think that's a fact.
I want to thank Ted for sharing information about resources available to our community. And I want to thank the Department of Emergency Management and Regional Security more broadly. You know, they shelter people in very hot weather and very cold weather. They help residents who are impacted by natural disasters. They are our information source when, you know, bad weather is approaching. So they serve a variety of functions. We're grateful for all the work they do.
Thank you, Madam President. And I appreciate the opportunity to share some insight into this work this morning. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
Well, Madam President,
I'm really grateful for this opportunity to be with you. You know, that we've got a difficult moment coming up in Cook County. I'm going to end where we started and talk about Karen Yarborough. You know, Karen Yarborough had four important offices in Cook County, and a number of them were elected by the people as a whole and some by the particular constituencies. She was a member of the State Democratic Party Central Committee representing the 7th District. She was the committee person for Proviso Township. She was, of course, the clerk of the county. She was also treasurer of the Democratic Party. Two of those offices will be filled in the next week, three of them, actually. Proviso Township will now be represented in the Democratic Party by Speaker Chris Welch.
Okay.
And the treasurer of the Democratic Party will be Michelle Harris, I hope. At least that's what I will propose on Monday. Michelle Harris is Alder person of the 8th Ward, a longtime member of the Central Committee of Cook County. And on Friday, the Democratic Party will choose a replacement to be on the ballot in November for her position as clerk of the county. So a lot of moving parts over the next week, and it's a testament to the impact that Karen had that there's so many vacancies to be filled.
You know, hats off to a contributor to the fabric of our society, our Democratic Party, and the residents of Cook County and beyond. Hats off to Karen Yarborough. Madam President, thank you so much for joining us early on this morning. Looking forward to talking with you more soon. In the meanwhile, Sunday is a great day to embrace the calm and let go of any chaos. God's grace and continued embrace throughout the day. Those are the words of my great friend Rhonda Woods. This is the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. Have a super fantastic and grateful week.